Let's talk about the extraterrestrials first, if we can, Peter. Do they seem to be coming from the same region of the universe, or are they coming from all over the place?
Yeah, well, in Dorothy's cosmology, there are not just one or two groups or three groups or four groups, but there are hundreds of them. Some of them actually, some life forms, by the way, are not ones that travel in craft or are organized.
Mm-hmm. I would believe that.
Yeah, they actually live in space, and they are luminous. And some of them have gotten into this world, into our little planet here, and have gotten trapped. And I asked this of Dorothy because there were some little lights that were seen, and I've seen these myself. I once had a group of them surround me.
Like orbs?
Yep, and wonderful little friendly things, and they were coming up to my face and bobbling around. And I asked Dorothy about that, and she said, you know, I had this experience with these lights in a motel room. She said that all the lights were out. She and her sister were together in the room, and all of a sudden, Dorothy wakened and she looked up, and the room was filled with these little lights. And while all this was going on, they were trying to get Dorothy's attention. Her sister comes awake, and literally jumps a foot off the bed. You know, she's startled by what she's seeing. And these little lights are actually life forms that live in space. They belong out there, not here. And some of them have gotten trapped here, and they move around quite a bit. And they spend time, you see them in various places, and people have seen them. And that's not the only explanation for all orbs, by the way. I mean, there are other orbs or other light objects that are different in nature and from different sources.
So they're coming from all over the place.
Yes. The extraterrestrials, there are many groups of them. Dorothy has images of these in her footage. You have the little sly-eyed elfin ones that we've all come to know and love.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ones that look a lot like us. And then there are ones that look like us but are over 9 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they're friendly. I mean, they're all very benign.
Who might have been the giants in the biblical days?
Well, that's right. As a matter of fact, you will see in my book an image where you see the pilot sitting there in a console, and right next to him is a giant. And it's fascinating. And this, when you see these images moving, it is so touching, George. I can't tell you. A couple of times I've been moved to tears. For those who've been involved in the research and very dedicated.
Oh, yeah. I can believe that.
Yeah. When you see this, you can't, it's so touching because I know Dorothy, and it's real. Yeah, you're looking at the real thing. There's no question about it. You're looking at an other world.
And are they all peaceful? I mean, we've heard the reptilians could be not that friendly.
You know, I've actually had a sighting of a reptilian.
Have you?
Yes, I have. And, of course, this is not associated with Dorothy.
Right.
This is associated
has she had a reptilian sighting
yes,
at all?
Yes, she's actually okay. Seen them. And also the dog-faced men. Now, let me explain a little something about this dog-faced men thing. Those out there familiar with the research, the very hidden corridors of the research, this is not something that is necessarily popular. And as I said before, I can hear all of my practical-minded associates out there just, biting their knuckles listening to me talk.
Cringing.
But the dog-faced men, now this is an interesting thing. Dorothy had talked to me a little bit about them, that
uh-huh.
She had seen them. And they are from another world, and occasionally they pop through here. And as a matter of fact, I had written an article with the late Dr. Alan Vaughan. Alan Vaughan had been a guest with Art Bell at one time, and he has passed away now. But he and I did an article because we started talking about something Dorothy told us. She said that all the tampering with the Earth's environment, all this messing around we're doing with nuclear things and what have you, has created a kind of breach between the barrier that naturally separates our world from the one next to it.
Fascinating.
It's like a reality, like a dimension.
Yeah.
And what's happening, they said, and this started happening about 25 or 30 years ago, strange creatures started popping through. These creatures are normal to this other world, but they're abnormal here. And I thought this was so darn funny because, when I was working with Stanton Friedman, I started collecting a lot of reports of strange creatures, and they started showing up around 1972 in greater numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say they weren't there before that. But in greater numbers, people were starting to come forward, and they were talking about Bigfoot. They were talking about reptilian-like creatures. And they were, chupacabras and you name it. All this stuff started turning up. And this seemed to fit the theory, and so Alan and I wrote a piece for it. It was eventually published in the MUFON Journal about this connection between the Earth's geomagnetic field, fluctuations in the Earth's geomagnetic field, and the appearance of certain creatures.
Incredible.
Bigfoot, But the reptilian was there, and some of them are not necessarily hostile. This whole business about hostility has to do with indifference. Now, these creatures are focused, and some of them, like the little ones that look alike, Dorothy was saying to me once that she felt, and at least this was her understanding from her contact, that these were clones. They're not androids. They're not robots. They're actual biological beings, but they're clones, and they all look alike. They're all stamped from the same mold, so to speak. And their basic goal, and what they are, is they are, in a way, doing the bidding of other ones that look like them, actually, but are more powerful.
On different planets, though?
Yeah. Well, some are from different planets, some are from different realities.
Uh-huh.
And so on.
All right.
But they're from different places in this vast universe. And what's amazing to me, though, George, is the fact that so much of what they do is magical. You know, I know the skeptics out there listening to this are going to be just, you know, frothing at the mouth. I mean, it's very hard to prove this. Now, if I didn't have Dorothy's films, I would be doing what every researcher does. I'd be laboring over finding witnesses and putting together a case based on various instances.
You're trying to find out if she's balanced or not.
Yeah, you know, but when I ran into 600 reels of film, clear, distinct footage, and when I sat with Dorothy and I talked with Dorothy, I began to feel the actual essence of this cosmology.
Mm-hmm,
you can feel it. It's a vibe that's hard to explain.
How do you know she's not one of them?
Well, you know, it's the look in her eye. She is just a true human being. And I want to emphasize that, too. She is a lovely human being. I've never known her to say an unkind word about anybody. She has never taken out to hurt anyone or manipulate anybody. Because people have asked me, well, why this tiny little obscure woman? Why not some UFO researcher out there dedicating his life to chasing these things?
Well, maybe that's why.
I think so. I think so, George. It's a matter of character. And here I go again back to my roots as a spiritual researcher and an experiencer. I know that the character of this planet plays a role in all of this. It's corny. We've all heard it before. It's just, the message isn't new, but it's basically true, in my opinion. And I think in Dorothy's case, here you have a spiritual, a fairly high-level spiritual person, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that contributed to why she's had these regular contacts.
And they probably can feel that.
Well, that's right. And she has no fear. This is what I loved about her.